is your mansion. Yeah. Fresh out of school, now you working and focus on fashion. Pretty girl and you let go. Got time, but you got goals. Hey, baby, waste your time with me in California. Hey, baby, waste your time with me in California. La, 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 yeah, I met her at a 1-0. La, 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 now we at the same house party. La, 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 if you wanna waste time, baby, waste your time with me in California. Hey, baby, waste your time with me in California. Oh shit, you born in the Hamptons, I heard that's expensive. Damn, and you famous on Insta, your pics is a blessing. I think you could be a centerfold, no need for the money though. Hey baby, waste your time with me in California. Hey baby, waste your time with me in California. Your time with me in California. Don't stop, and all we got's time to lose. With the rain be on pause and the boulevard hot, I heard you like trash and rooms. And yeah, we're all drunk and a little too high. If you wanna feel something new, hey baby, waste your time with me in California. Hey baby, waste your time with me in California.
No, I don't know about you, but that's a good song.
That is a great song. I forgot about that song. As soon as it came on, I clicked favorite.
Yeah, it's a banger for sure. They all are. All three of those songs are used in the Cal Day doc. And that is kind of when you were asking about, like, how do you build out your scenes in terms of editing? That song is used heavily in terms of, like, pushing it to the next thing. So,
now,
like,
is that a popular song at Berkeley, UC Berkeley?
No,
like, did
no,
you hear
no.
that?
I mean, this song's like 10 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not. It's like they all listen to like 90s rock, which is what we can listen to after. Like a lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers were being played there. And the first song that you hear in the doc is. And what's funny enough about this, and I was thinking about it after the fact, and I don't know if I did it inadvertently, but almost every song in one way, shape, or form, even the instrumentals, has something to do with either California or that specific area. And so I'll explain. That song, for example, La La Land is obviously a song about California, whatever, that's fine. But when it pushes into the next thing that is a quieter section of the documentary, it's called the Mighty Rio Grande, which if you've heard that reference, it's the instrumental that's playing in Moneyball.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I don't know if you know where Moneyball is located and set, but it's set based on the Oakland Athletics,
which is in
San Francisco, in Oakland. And that is literally like a 10-mile drive. And I didn't even plan that after the fact, but that happens to be literally in the same area of Northern California. Is that song is used in one of the most famous movies about baseball in general, but also like that area. And so it's pretty cool that I was like, oh, yeah, like, I didn't
even
realize
so well.
That actually worked out perfectly to push it into like the final sequence of the documentary. And yeah, basically like the whole thing is like them having a bonfire. There's like 200 people there all around after having this crazy like 3,000 person party in their courtyard. And the coolest thing about the entire documentary is there's actually a section of it that was filmed in 1982 in the exact same courtyard that I shot the documentary in. Thankfully enough, somebody just happened to film a party that they had in 82. And so I got to use it for the documentary and cut back and forth between all the crazy stuff that they were doing then that looks the exact same as now.
So now we've talked about Texas Forever,
yes.
The Great Migration. What was number three called?
Cal Day. Like,
no,
literally,
it's Cal
just
Day.
It was,
just,
yeah,
named
it was
after
just,
their, yes, that event.
For so, search purposes, it's the easiest to just call
sure.
it Cal Day.
Okay, so Cal Day.
Yeah.
Now we're jumping to number four. What's number four called?
The Elephant in the Room.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That was the last one you filmed, too, right?
No, technically, yes, but the final one that I finished was the Arizona State one, but that was also one of the first ones I started because I shot it in April, September, and November. October.
November. Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, the Elephant in the Room is based on the University of Alabama, where their football program is second to none and incredible, and they have been historically one of the best teams ever in college football history. And B, their Greek life system is the biggest thing that most people who don't even know about fraternities or sororities knows it's big at Alabama. And
well, their Greek row is
it's worth
the most beautiful
half
houses.
A billion dollars in real estate, yeah. Just between like 40 to 50 homes. But the crazy part about it is at that school, more than 60% of the students are in Greek life, and the other ones that aren't are probably just on the sports teams where you're not allowed to be in Greek life because it takes up so much of your time.
Yeah.
So the only reason you would really go to that school is if you were trying to join a fraternity or sorority or if you were on a sports team. And so in the conversation about Greek life, Alabama is the elephant in the room.
Okay.
Fortunately enough, because their mascot is a giant elephant, there are sculptures and statues and paintings and monuments of elephants all
everywhere.
Around their campus.
Yeah.
And it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's
so,
great.
The whole documentary is based on their biggest day of the year, which is called the third week in October, which is when they play Tennessee. And yeah, they have a lot of rivals, but when Tennessee comes to town, it's like Western versus Queens, but it like actually matters because hundreds of thousands of people come from all over to watch them compete.
Yeah, and I mean, not that it doesn't matter here, it's just at a different scale.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing
you
like
cannot
going...
be an Alabama football
game. Yeah, I mean, but even when we go to Notre Dame, or to Syracuse. There's nothing like being at a college football game in the U.S. And, your mom and I are actually sponsors of the Queens Gales, the football team for this year. Because we do want to support
local.
Yeah,
we went to a game on homecoming. It was great.
Yeah.
I was sick.
Yeah.
But I still muscled through.
Yeah, I mean, we support everything that's going on here with CFRC and the football and everything. And actually, one of my childhood friends, their son plays on the Gales.
Nice.
So, total big supporter, but it's just at a different level. Like, when we go to Notre Dame and we're walking through the campus and there's 100,000 people there and there's over 20,000 people tailgating, and half of those people don't even go to the game. They're just there to tailgate all day.
Literally. Well, tickets can sometimes be so expensive for some of the big games that you're like, why would I pay to go?
I know, but they set up TVs in the parking lot, like big screens and,
it's pretty
and
awesome.
Inflatable screens and stuff, and watch the game live from the parking lot. Like, they just never leave.
And so this documentary that I shot, fortunately enough, there's like, I don't know, 40 fraternities at the school. There are only two that are directly across the street from the stadium where like the backdrop to their home is the Alabama Stadium where 100,000 people pour out of. And I shot the documentary on the closest one there. And imagine like having Alabama as your football team, but imagine living in a $10 million mansion with 150 other people across the street. It's pretty sweet. This is a great 4 years in college.
What was that fraternity called?
Beta Theta Pi.
Okay, so Beta Theta Pi is literally at the footsteps of the main entrance to
the Nick Saban Bear Bryant like field. It is the coolest thing in the world, and not even being a fan of Greek life, you could just go there and appreciate how monumentally big everything is.
And
it's just nuts.
It's to the ninth degree.
It literally
just over the top. It's unbelievable. And seeing actually the alumni interact as well, and they come
everybody
back.
Everybody comes back to town.
Yeah, it was wild. So
you could actually play leading into that, because their runout song when they run onto the field is Thunderstruck by AC/DC. And let me tell you, when they run onto the field and 100,000 people are hearing people scream and cheer and fireworks are going off and there's a flyover and the stadium's lighting up with like red crimson tide LED lights and Thunderstruck is playing, you feel it in every cell in your body, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, the footage when you've got that is incredible. So here we go, little Thunderstruck, let's do it. man, some of the guys on my trivia night are going to love that tonight was a lot of AC/DC. They're huge AC/DC fans. So
AC/DC is a good up-and-coming band, you know? yeah, AC/DC, incredible. And that song is literally like the cornerstone of Alabama football.
So that plays as the beginning of your documentary, but you said it's also really the intro song for the team.
It's not in the beginning of the documentary. The beginning of the documentary is like a promotional video from the 80s that I found on Alabama, and I cut it between a bunch of other stuff.
As they're coming in.
Yeah. It's as they're running in the dock, you hear that, and it's the best thing in the world. It literally, you can feel it, you feel like you're immersed in the environment. It's amazing.
Does every school do a flyover?
No.
Just the big?
The SEC schools do it for sure. That stands for Southeastern Conference, if anybody was wondering. But yeah, like all the schools like Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Ole Miss, like Texas.
Notre Dame does.
I think Notre Dame does for the most part.
No, they did.
For the big games, yeah, they'll do it. They're not going to do it when they play Syracuse and beat them by 70, but yeah.
I think they actually did that day. They were very happy to fly over and go, we're going to win.
Yeah, it's amazing when they do that. It's just like, I don't know. If you love football, it's hard to not love it.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we've done Texas, we've done the Great Migration, we've done Cal Day, we've done the elephant in the room. Where are we going next?
We are going to London, Ontario, which I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with that. Western University is an amazing school, and I've spent more time at Western, maybe more time than I have at Queens, to be honest. I've got a friend there that is very well known and decided to become a DJ in his early years of being in school, and fast forward a couple of years, got to open up for a lot of big rappers and pop artists and all these other people. And
so
when I met him,
so name some of those, because they are big names.
Well, he got to open up for Quavo of the Migos, which was awesome. And Sway Lee of Ray Shremmerd, obviously, who's kind of become bigger than Ray Shremmerd now with like Sunflower and Unforgettable and all these like mega radio hit songs.
Yeah, Unforgettable is great.
Ava Max, who sings Sweet But Psycho, she has a ton of songs, but like that's like one of the big ones that I've heard. Loud Luxury, the Nelk Boys, they're not obviously a music group, but they had like a private party that he performed all their music at. And over the course of the documentary, you watch kind of the progress of him playing at the small fraternity parties on a Tuesday night, which are called mixers for like 100 people, to then getting asked to open up for this person. And then a couple days go by, or a couple weeks go by, and then he opens up for this person. And then it just keeps steamrolling. And the cool thing about it is, when I reached out to him and I met him, I said, I want to shoot this for like 4 months. We shot it for 2.5 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, this was shot over multiple years, because I knew you would be like, hey, I've got to zip off to London. I'm shooting a video tonight. And then you'd be back in the morning ready to shoot something else or go somewhere else.
Or go to class. Yeah. There'd be plenty of times. I mean, as I think the listeners heard earlier, there was a time during school where I was... I don't know if anybody would ever do this, but most people have like a hard time getting out of bed and walking to class in the winter. I was commuting to Kingston classes from Alberta, which I know sounds ridiculous and not true, but I can promise you it is true. I got a job working on the oil rigs for a cementing company that creates all like the well casing so you can get oil from the ground. And I worked 15 days on and 6 days off. And in those 6 days off, I would fly back to Ottawa or Toronto and have you or mom or Sarah Marie pick me up, or a friend, and then I would get brought back here, I'd grab my car, and then I would go to class for a day or two, and then I would drive through the night straight to London so I could shoot this doc, because at the time, there were so many things that were happening that if I had missed them, would have been not just a missed opportunity, but like the documentary would have felt incomplete, and I just made it happen no matter what.
It just seemed like chaos. Following you was like following a bouncing ball. It was crazy.
It feels like a moving target at all times.
Oh, but absolutely.
Yeah, literally, like after I would film and be done, I would literally fly right back to Alberta on a red eye and be back on an oil rig on Wednesday morning.
I know, and we're talking about it like it's just nothing. Like, we were in Philadelphia last weekend. You're heading to UNC this
North
week,
Carolina.
Right?
I'm wearing a Tar Heels hat right now. But yeah, headed to North Carolina for the first time ever. I've never been to that school.
And
you've
I have
been to that school.
I was there. I was great. I had a great time. I went to your fraternity there.
Bill Belichick, the current coach of the Tar Heels, was the Super Bowl 7 rings, I think, or something like that for the New England Patriots. And he's the head coach there now. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to walk around the campus.
Michael Jordan's campus.
Michael Jordan. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, Jordan went there. It's just there's a huge statue of him in the...
I'll have to get footage of it. But this time next week, I will be in North Carolina, probably at a bar called He's Not Here, which is ironic for a name for a bar, but is the...
That's awesome.
That's the most popular bar in North Carolina.
So one of the other interesting facts is you met up with the band Loud Luxury.
The DJ group from... Yeah. They're actually from Toronto.
Yeah.
And they went to Western back in the early 2010s and kind
also
of...
Also in a frat.
They were... One of them was in a fraternity, yes, and not mine, but... one of them, and they are great. Like, they've made a lot of great music and had a song about 10 years ago called Body really pop off. And the crazy part about all this, which I really liked as well too, is like the guy that I'm friends with that I shot this documentary on in London, he opened for them. Amazing, cool, great time. However, in the Alabama documentary, the nightclub that I ended up getting connected with booked them to come perform. So I also got to film them on stage at Alabama as well too. Hung out with them multiple times in Muskoka, Toronto, London, and then Alabama as well.
And I've gotten to know them. Just had a baby, right?
Yeah, so. Gotten to know them pretty decently well, and they're great guys. And it's just, they sold out the RBC Amphitheater for like 16,000 people on Canada Day, which was like their homecoming show. Pretty incredible. Just really great guys. And it was cool to get to be with them at Bama of all places, because when is the next time I'm going to be with Loud Luxury at the University of Alabama? Probably the answer is never, but like a pretty cool moment to be able
it
to have that.
Cool.
It was
amazing.
And
you jumped over, you shot a documentary a couple of years ago as well, where you had James Hype out of it.
I did. The documentary never came out. I flew from, which speaking about crazy flights.
Let's come back. Let's play a little Loud Luxury here.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about the James Hype one.
We'll come back and talk about James Hype and your...
Documentary. In New
Orleans. Yeah. All right, let's come back. Let's do a little Loud Luxury. Here we go, Body.
Babe, don't make a sound. 2 a.m. low, gotta keep it down. Don't wait around for a signal now. Give me some verb, I ain't talking now. You wanna ride in the six. You wanna dine in the six. But when I lean for the kiss, you said I'll probably send you some pics. And I'm like, hell nah, been waiting too long. Hell nah, I want that cruel love. Hell nah, been waiting too long. Hell nah, I want that cruel love. Body on my, losing all my innocence. Yeah, body on my, finding all my innocence. Yeah, body on my. Losing all my innocence, yeah, body on my. Finding all my innocence, yeah, body on my. Losing all my innocence, yeah, body on my. Finding all my innocence, yeah, body on my. Losing all my innocence, yeah, body on my. Finding all my innocence, yeah. Incidental. My bad, never got the memo that you never have fun while you're in the limo. Yeah, you wanna ride in the six, you wanna dine in the six. But when I lean for the kiss, you said I'll probably send you some pics. And I'm like, hell nah, been waiting too long. Hell nah, I want that cruel love. Hell nah, been waiting too long. Hell nah, I want that cruel love. Body on my. Losing all my innocence, yeah, body on my. Finding all my innocence, yeah, body on my. Losing all my innocence, yeah, body on my. Finding all my innocence, yeah, body on my. Losing all my innocence, yeah, body on my. Finding all my innocence, yeah, on my. Don't lie.
Pretty good song. I'm sure you've heard it if you have not lived under a rock for the last 15 years.
I've played it a million times.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So, yeah, they're great. They're in two of the documentaries, technically, so pretty awesome. And
are they actually in the Alabama documentary?
They're literally the ones on stage when it's all in slow-mo performing. Okay. Like, that's the one at the nightclub. They performed for, like, 1,000 people the night before Tennessee played Alabama, which is awesome.
Did you know they were going to be there?
I had known, but I was not connected with them. I didn't speak to them about it at the time, but I DM'd the nightclub and said, hey, I'm here. And they responded back immediately saying, call us right now. And if you need a black SUV to pick you up, we will take you. And I said, I wish I got this treatment in Kingston when I pull up to the nightclub. But I was like, no, I'm just going to Uber there with my friend. But they were adamant about like showing me like the best hospitality ever, which is great.
That's awesome.
Fortunately, that just comes with like running the page that I run specifically in the South in the U.S. goes a long way.
Yeah, I gathered that. Everybody knew who you were when I just said, I didn't say your name. They were like, oh, yeah, we know that. Everybody yeah. knew it. So it's been pretty cool.
Speaking of the South, you want to talk about James Hype.
Let's talk about that. So you went to an event in New Orleans a couple of years ago, right?
Yes. Tulane University is one of the most interesting universities I've ever been to in the United States. It's in New Orleans. The majority of the people who go to that school are not from Louisiana. They're from people from all over the world. It only has a student body of like 8,000 students, which is not a lot. Like Queens is 20,000. And most of the schools that I go to in the U.S. have, like ASU, for example, has 85,000 people that go there. Because Phoenix is huge.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that live in that area and also commute from all over Phoenix to Tempe, Arizona, which is like the very top part of Phoenix. And so basically like New Orleans is just not that like at all. It's like the exact opposite. And Mardi Gras is where New Orleans is, you know, obviously the most prominent. And I got an opportunity to go shoot a documentary for 9 days in the middle of school. I took time off school and just told my teachers, nah, whatever. But ironically enough, I actually flew from London, England to New Orleans.
Because you were at a party in England at the time.
I had a meeting there that I had to go to for some stuff. And basically I flew from Syracuse to New York City, New York City to London, England, London, England. I was there for 3-4 days, had a fantastic time. And then I flew all the way back to New York City and then to New Orleans. And then I was in New Orleans for 9 days. And then I flew back to Syracuse or New York City and grabbed my car and then drove home. And while I was there, I shot this crazy documentary, crazy enough, which I've realized now more than ever, is if you have a big camera at a nightclub, people will just let you go anywhere, which is great. And that was like the first time I learned that was at this nightclub. It's called the Metropolitan. It's the biggest one in New York or in New Orleans. And it holds 4,000 people. And at the time, basically the fraternity that I was shooting this documentary on, they spent $150,000 over the course of 4 days throwing a 4 day long Mardi Gras party every day and every night. And the first night was the majority of the money. They spent $75,000 on bringing James Hype to the largest nightclub, sold tickets at $50 a piece. Sold them for, you know, 4,000 tickets of them, and then used all that money to pay off that and all of their other expenses for Mardi Gras and still walked away with a profit and partied the entire time. And they're the only fraternity at their school that has enough, like, resources to do it. And
or clout.
Yeah, really. Exactly. Just they have the ability to fill their parties with that many people. And so I got to film James Hype, and I got to, like, security was letting me, like, stand on tables to get all the shots and just literally whatever I needed to get the exact shot on my camera, they just let me do it. That's it didn't matter.
Crazy.
And so it was pretty amazing. But James Hype did a killer job, and then ultimately the documentary never ended up coming out just because it didn't make sense at the time to release it just as a standalone thing. Maybe in the future, or maybe I even reshoot it on a better camera because Mardi Gras is obviously every year. And, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, I would say play some James Hype, and then we can come back and talk about, you know, the final stages of everything happening now.
All right, here we go. A little James Hype. Be mine.
You get me high from the look in your eyes. Would you be mine? Give me high, look in your eyes. Would you be mine if the feeling?
Another great song, Kieran.
What do you think of that?
Oh, I like James Hype. His stuff. As soon as you introduced me to him, I started following him on social media and every, every little reel and stuff that comes out from him.
Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, pretty cool. He was great. I didn't actually get to speak to him because he showed up 10 seconds before he was meant to go on and literally left and flew back to Los Angeles the moment he was done.
Yeah, he played another gig the next night or something.
It was a two-hour set from midnight until 2 a.m., and then he was gone right after that.
Yeah.
Just gone in a jiffy. Yeah, it was nuts. And so, yeah, I shot that documentary in February of 2024 and then ended up never releasing it. But and then in 2025, I was like, okay, I'm going to shoot like six of these back to back to back all year, which is the first trailer to all this is coming out literally on Sunday, which is insane because this is the first time ever that I've made a project for this audience that I own and like manage. And it's scary because, I mean, I don't control how they interpret it. And people on the internet can be very mean if they don't like something. And I really hope people like it. Like, that is my intention. And
for sure. I think it's going to be really well received. I think you've maybe got it built up in your head that you're worried or nervous about it. And, you know, sometimes people think they're more nervous about something going wrong than how great it can really be, right?
I couldn't agree more. It doesn't make it any less scary.
No, I bet it doesn't. Click publish. Sure. Absolutely.
I don't control how many people see it. I don't control any of that, but I'm doing everything I can to kind of keep myself calm, and it's been going well so far, but holy moly, because it's coming out on 1 p.m. on Sunday.
So 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday.
And at noon? I'll be losing my mind pacing around my room, going back and forth, going, oh, what did I do? I should change this. I should change that. That's too late.
Too late.
Yeah. And so it'll be exciting. I'm excited for it. It's been a wonderful past year, and it's taught me a lot about like patience and just being resilient and waiting for the right time. Cause all of these documentaries have been done since December.
All right.
And I've now had to kind of sit on it for the last 8-9 months, which is fine, but this is like the perfect time to release it. And the intention is to then go shoot another 10 to 15 over the course of 2026, the rest of it and 2027.
So here we go. We've got Texas Forever.
We've got the
Great Migration. We've got Cal Day. We've got
the elephant in the room.
We've got
the North's Face, which
is great for perfect for being in Canada and doing that. What's number six?
It's called Delta Dawn.
Okay.
And you know, what's funny is actually the Delta Dawn, the song by Tanya Tucker, is not in the documentary, but it did inspire the name, obviously. Maybe I should put it in a trailer or something like that at a later date. But basically, Delta Tau Delta is the name of the fraternity that the documentary is on. And funny enough, for some pop culture heads, that's the fraternity that Matthew McConaughey was in. That's the same one that Will Ferrell was in. And more relevantly, in terms of music, John Summit was also in that as well, too. So it was David Schwimmer, actually, now that I think about it as well, which is pretty neat. Like Ross from Friends. And, you know, he was actually in Delta Tau Delta as well, too. And
I think the biggest catch to that is Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, him and sure. Will Ferrell, for sure, are like the
and
face.
And they wear, like,
Matthew McConaughey a lot.
Yeah, he wears a ton of his frat all the time.
Yep.
He's constantly in it.
Yes, 100%. He's
and speaks very fondly of his time in fraternity life.
100%. It's amazing. And, you know, I don't think there could be a better spokesperson for anything than Matthew McConaughey. He talks eloquently, and he's the man.
I hope when this comes out, he has an opportunity. Maybe you could DM him and send him to him. That would be pretty wild.
I don't know if he manages his own social media, but I'm sure I could get in touch with him one way or another. And hopefully he sees it, because there's like a little clip of him for 2 seconds
in
the final documentary. But yeah, this documentary that I shot called Delta Dawn is about Arizona State Halloween, which if you're in your 20s or your late teens, that sounds like the place to be. It was the best thing in the world. Basically, the actually crazy part about all this as well, too, is this wasn't meant to get shot. I had no intention of shooting this whatsoever. But to make a very long story short, I posted a video on the social media page of like a boxing match between like two fraternity guys that was like sanctioned with like 1,000 people in the crowd, all wearing the same shirts. And I get DMs every day from people that I don't know, just sending in photos and like all sorts of stuff. But I got reached out to as a response from this saying, hey, my fraternity is actually going to be in a boxing event on March 1st. Is there any chance you'd be wanting to come? We'll host you. Crazy enough, I didn't get to go because I had prior obligations with my fraternity in Canada here. And also my back was really sore and I had like tweaked it for like 2 weeks and I could barely walk. And even when I was like, you know, doing my stuff here, I could barely walk as well, too.
Yeah,
so I'm glad I didn't go.
That. Yeah.
But with that, I responded back saying, you know, I can't come on March 1st. This was in like February that I posted it. So it was like a month away. But I said, I'd love to talk to you and whoever else I need to talk to about maybe shooting a documentary, because I'm going to be on my way from Texas to California. And I figure I could stop on the way in Arizona and maybe shoot the first half of a doc. And I ended up shooting probably the best doc, in my opinion, just like in terms of the amount of time and effort I put into it. And yeah, Delta Dawn is basically a documentary about Arizona State and how crazy it is. It's fascinating, and it's hard to imagine. You can Google it if you're interested enough. But basically, they live in something called the GLV, which stands for Greek Leadership Village. But about 10 years ago, 2016, 2017, the school invested like $300 to $400 million into building a gated community on the campus for like 27 frats and sororities that all live next to each other. And like, it's a locked area that you can't get into unless you're in one of those fraternities or sororities, and they live in that. And so part of the documentary is shot in that. And then the other parts of it are shot at like pool parties and Halloween parties and all sorts of stuff. And I literally went back there two more times after that. So 5 days in April, five in September, and then five as well too in October, leading into November 1st and 2nd as well too. Yeah. And I was on the phone with one of the guys who was in the doc for an hour and a half today, just talking about life and catching up. Because it's one wonderful thing about this entire process is the friends that I've made along the way. And whatever happens from here on out.
Lifelong friends.
Oh, people that I hope are in my life for as long as I have one. You know, like it's genuinely been like a astoundingly life-changing thing that I'm so grateful for. And just getting the opportunity to shoot these and like really taking a shot, it's scary for sure, but I'm really glad I did it.
Yeah. So what are we going to play from this last one here? What do we want to play?
I don't even know. I mean, there's a lot of good music. Sunny by Boney M. That's a banger. That's in the doc as well. Okay. That is in that one. And then, yeah, we can come back and talk a little bit more.
Okay, well, let's do Sunny by Boney M, and then we'll definitely come back and do some more chatting here.
Time's flying.
Yeah, it is flying by. But hopefully you'll be back another day as well.
Maybe I'll come back in a couple of weeks and tell you how many hopeful people saw the docs and went, yeah, this is great.
Maybe that'd be a great actually a follow-up in a couple of weeks. Let's do Sunny Boney M here.
Sorry.
I was thinking the exact same thing. So I got to just ask you, and I know, but I'm just going to ask it just for the audience. Your enjoyment in fraternity life while you're, you know, in university, would you say it was a positive experience overall?
The best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I think so as well.
And it's not just, I mean, there's a docu-series that I'll be shooting in Indiana for the next year on the largest fraternity in the United States, well, in the world, literally. They live in a 55,000 square foot home.
Yeah, you showed it to me. It was ridiculous. Yeah,
it's like literally 1,000 square feet shy of a football field is like what they live in. And crazy enough, Anne Hathaway is actually shooting a movie right there on the event that I'm shooting this whole thing on, which is the backdrop of like the whole docu-series in general. Right now, she's shooting it in Bloomington, Indiana.
Yeah.
But basically, like, their slogan to this fraternity is not for college days alone. And basically, like, the whole point of it is, like, look, when you're done school, that's not when this whole thing is done. That's kind of just the beginning.
Yeah, and I got to say, like, the amount of people and connections and famous people that have been in fraternity life, Dick Wolf,
yeah,
as an example, the guy that makes all the Law and Orders and all the things that go dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. I shouldn't be singing the Law and Order. Yeah.
So
Brad Pitt, all sorts of people, yeah.
So
David Letterman.
Yeah, the amount of famous.
Tom Selleck.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I mean, you know, when you're growing up and you just see people wearing these kind of T-shirts that just have like weird X's
letters,
Greek letters on it, you think nothing of it. But then when you get older and you realize like that, those are your brothers and your sisters for life.
Yeah. And I mean,
and
like
family.
Most people have seen the movie Animal House.
Yeah.
That's like one of the most iconic ones, which is pretty cool. And then also I've not been to Dartmouth yet, which is where Animal House is based off of.
Revenge of the Nerds.
The fraternity that I'm in lives in the house that the jocks live in Tucson, Arizona, which is really cool.
I've
stayed in that house like 10, 15 times. I will definitely be there again in a couple months as well, too, to see my friends because they have the largest yard that can fit like 3,000-4,000 people in their yard. And they fill it up with lots of people who go to their parties and they bring DJs and all sorts of people in from all over the world to perform in this yard. And what happens is they get a red tag from the city, meaning that they can't do it for 6 months. And they schedule the next party the day after the red tag expires. And they do it literally once every 6 months.
Yeah. 6 months in a day.
Yeah, literally.
What's funny is I have friends that, you know, from work and stuff, and I talk to them about their kids going to school. And I've recommended to a few of them that their kids join a fraternity just because the brotherhood will be there for the rest of their lives. And some of them, you know, they didn't join, you know, your fraternity or whatever. They joined different ones.
They don't need to join one specific one.
Yeah.
It's really all about who you're comfortable spending all of your time with, right?
And it's great. And they, and you know, they come back, and I've had some conversations with both of these people, and they said it's been the most, the best experience for their kids that they could ever have imagined.
It can be if you care. It ends up being nothing if you don't, right? Like, that's the thing, is you kind of get exactly what you put into it. And it's
100%.
A crazy thing to say up front because you're like, well, what am I doing here? I don't know anything about this. But the more you know, and the more you take something seriously, it doesn't need to just be this, but anything.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just anything in life, for sure.
But I dove into it. Like, post-race and motocross, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And obviously, I tried a million things, which we can get into at a later date. And this is kind of where I'm at.
This gave you an identity.
But this for sure was my way into being like, okay, like, the next time I find something that I really care about, I'm not going to take it for granted. And I'm going to go as hard as I can to make sure that, like, I leave a lasting impression. And I think what I'm about to release on Sunday in the short term will get clipped and will take on a life of its own, and hundreds of thousands of people will see it inevitably. And I think in the long term, it will be the thing that people are talking about 30 to 40 years from now, the way I'm talking about and running this page, all the crazy stuff that happened in the 80s and 90s. And I fully believe that.
That's awesome. All right, well, let's finish off with a couple of songs back to back here.
Oh, yeah.
So what's this here, The Days?
Well, The Days is the final crazy montage that you see at Arizona State. Think about a pool party filled with, you know, 1,000 people going crazy, all dressed in different costumes on day 4 of Halloweekend. And, this was the song that was playing as it leads into it. It's a fantastic song. I'm sure a lot of people have heard it because it's a big EDM song on a lot of the Spotify playlists. I think it came out a year or two ago, and yeah, it's one of those songs that you're like, yeah, I could see this being in a documentary about partying, and I did that.
All right, here we go, The Days.
I'm
Another great song that I really like. I think The Days is great. Messy, I really like.
They're both fantastic, and it definitely makes you want to party, you know?
Well, it's funny, because I've started adding some of these songs into my rotation for weddings, and
people go crazy.
Yeah, they do. They just hype it up. It's great, so.
It's definitely good. So, I mean, now that we only have a couple minutes left, how do you want to finish it off? Like, what do you have to say about just, I guess, life in general, the docs, whatever?
So, I'm excited for you. I'm excited to see how this thing plays out in the next week or two.
Me too.
you'll be gone next week. So what we'll do is we'll have you come back in a couple of weeks then.
Yeah, the docs will be out by then. I think I'm going to release, I don't have a firm date yet, but it'll be probably be 2 weeks as of Sunday. So it'll be like the week of like August 3rd to 8th. At some point around then, I'm going to drop
them. All right, well, we'll definitely have you back after they've dropped. Yeah. You might want to come, maybe we'll have you come back next, not this Friday, but the Friday after.
Yeah.
And tell us all about your trip to North Carolina while I still have you kicking around here.
Potentially,
I know
yeah.
you're heading down south for... sooner than later, right?
Imminently, yeah. In the next 4 to 6 weeks, I'll be potentially going down there and living in Bloomington, Indiana. Every boy's dream is to live at Bloomington at the age of 27. But
well, it's funny because you've been gone out of the house on and off since you were 15, right? You moved to Europe when you were 15.
We lived
to race.
In Florida, you and I, when I was 12.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I forgot about that as well. God, yeah, we lived in Florida on the Florida-Georgia line.
Yeah, I would like to move back there at some point.
Yeah, you lived in Arkansas. You've lived in the south of England.
Lived in Georgia on my own as well, too.
Yeah,
lived
man.
In Edmonton, Alberta. Beautiful Edmonton, Alberta.
Gosh, you've been everywhere, man.
I say that sarcastically. But
yeah, no, I know. But I've really enjoyed having you in the studio tonight. It's nice because a lot of the times I'm either doing a pre-record because I'm off doing something.
Yeah, but busy.
But you said, hey, you know, let's go and do this tonight. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, let's do this.
I'm
this
here.
Is awesome. And, having you at home is great because I know it's for... you're kind of like a feature movie. You're just a limited engagement at the house, and then you got to go again. So
I mean, you could quote, it won't be like this for long.
Oh, damn. Let's not do that.
That's a good one.
It is.
That's a good one. I don't know. I'm excited. I appreciate you letting me come on here and yap about all my documentaries, but that's what I kind of worked away at, chipped away at literally for the last 3 years. It's
so
crazy.
For people that are not following you currently, but should be, where do they find you for these documentaries that are coming up on Sunday? Because we haven't talked about the actual name. I know you said it in passing.
Yeah.
Most people probably didn't pick up on it.
Well, it'll be out on YouTube under like I Love College, but the name of the brand that Sarah Marie and I own is Vintage Frat. I don't think I've ever said that anywhere on the internet ever. Like, I run a private Instagram page for 1,000 people that I know that it literally, like, no one has access to, where I talk about what it's like to run the page and all of the things that come with it. Like, hey, I got to go meet Diplo, or I get to fly here, I flew to Europe for this, or anything like that, or here's all the behind the scenes of the docs, but only those 1,000 people get to see it, because you cannot share it if it's private on social media at all.
Sure.
Like, there's no sharing feature. And so it's kind of to show all of my friends and all of their extended friends, like, hey, this is what it's like to be me.
It's pretty
days.
Wild to be you, man. I got to be honest.
It can be. There's also days where I'm on an oil rig and I go, holy man, it's cold. But those days are gone as of right now, which is nice. And hopefully I don't have to go back to them. And hopefully these documentaries push in the direction that I think they're going to. And
so let's talk really quickly. We've got a couple of minutes and then we'll throw on Over the Rainbow as we go out of here, as we always do.
Yep.
You're shooting a season 2. It's coming up.
I'm shooting like a season 2 and 3 kind of at the same time. And so to make a long story short, I say that a lot.
You
I
do.
Realize that's one of my things. You're wild. You say wild a lot, and I say to make a long story short.
Yep,
just because I could talk for years about it. But in a nutshell, I'm shooting a 8 to 10 part series, depending on how long it ends up going, in Indiana, on the University of Indiana and the Indiana Hoosiers and the Little 500, which anybody can Google if they feel like it. And then I'm going to shoot probably another 10 episodes in Auburn, Alabama, San Diego State University, UC Davis. There's all sorts of things that are going to be one-off episodes that'll come out. And then probably the 8 to 10 part series after that will come out as like a season 3 push. And maybe it comes out on a streaming platform. I don't know.
Well,
could
hopefully.
End up happening.
Yeah, well... That's another story, as they say. Let's
that
finish
is,
things off, guys.
That
We've
is
got
a story
little,
for a later
got
time.
A little Klaus, Rocco, and Mazza with Over the Rainbow. And then we'll talk to you again next week, guys. Have a great night.
Thank you.